evening, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Thinking back about a thought that I had many years ago, driving up to Frankfort to supply preach there. Strangely enough, the sign I saw was in Cadillac, and it was on 115. I can't remember exactly whether it was, I think it was in front of a campground. I don't even think it was in front of a church, but they had the sign out front that said, "It's a relationship, not a religion." And as I drove by that and thought about that, I thought, boy, that is so, so true for, you know, so many people today. You know, they have a religion. If you go and you go to somebody's door knocking and you talk to people and you ask them, you know, they've got a religion. I mean, they're something, you know. And usually they say that they're this or that because they were raised that. And but do they have a relationship? And that's the thing. So many people have a religion, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's kind of what we want to talk about tonight. And here in John chapter 3, we're going to look at three individuals in the New Testament. I'm going to start out with Nicodemus being the first one in John chapter 3 here. In verse 1, we'll begin reading. As there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" Now let's turn over and look at another individual in Acts chapter 10. You might put a marker there if you want. It's up to you in John. In Acts chapter 10, begin reading in verse 1 here. It says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." Let's go ahead and skip down to in the same chapter to verse 25. It says here, obviously, he was going to call for Simon Peter, and Simon Peter comes and to his home there, and it says in verse 25, "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until the ninth hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call thither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preached peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, and to give all prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For when they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now if you're there in Acts, turn over to Acts chapter 16. We'll look at the third person that we want to look at here in the New Testament tonight. And that's Lydia in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. It says here we find Paul and Silas, and when they had gone throughout Perga in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and they passed by Mysia, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and in a vision appeared to Paul at night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And she was baptized in her household. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful in the Lord, come into mine house and abide there. And she constrained us. Well, we will look at these three individuals tonight. And what did these three people have in common, if you think about them? One of the things that they had in common is that they all had religion. They all had religion. But they were still lacking something very important. They all had religion. And many who claim to be Christians today claim to worship the God of heaven. And all of these individuals, if you were to ask them who they worshiped, they would say the God of heaven. They were not idol worshipers. They were not heathens. These were people that believed in the God of heaven, and yet they were lacking something very important. And first we want to look at Nicodemus and think of who he was. In John chapter 3 there, if you want to turn back and just look at verse 1, it says there was a man of the Pharisees. He was a Pharisee. And so he was a very religious man. That's what the Pharisees were. They were very religious. They knew the Old Testament very well. They knew the law very well. They kept it to the jot and the tittle, if you will, the Pharisees did. So Nicodemus was a Pharisee. In fact, the Lord called him a master of his craft, if you will, of his religion. And he says, the Pharisee, they should have been. They were the what today we might call someone who has a doctorate, or someone who might teach at a seminary, or someone who might teach at a Christian college or a Christian school, maybe maybe administrator or someone. We would think of them as being someone who is very educated in the Word of God. Well, that was Nicodemus. The Lord in verse 10 said, Jesus saith unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? In other words, you know all these things scripturally, but you don't understand the most important thing about being born again. You see, he had religion, but he still needed something else, and he knew it. He came to the Lord at night, and he was asking questions because he was lacking inside. He had an emptiness inside him. He had religion. He knew all about God. And today you might liken him, as we said, unto a professor or someone that's teaching. Maybe someone that's teaching in, Sunday school class. Or, they go to church regularly. But they still do not have the most important thing. He was a teacher of the things of God, and yet he did not fully understand them. He needed to hear the Word of God, and he needed to be saved. He was lost, and he needed to be born again. And that's what the Lord was telling Nicodemus. He came to him and he said, you've got that physical birth, but you need that spiritual birth. And so that's what the Lord was telling him. Jesus was teaching him about salvation. And from all evidence, I believe that Nicodemus was saved. I don't think he would have went and begged for the body of Christ and did what he did. So I believe that the Lord intended for that. It was a divine meeting, and that I believe Nicodemus was no doubt saved. But Jesus was teaching him about salvation, that he needed a new birth, and he didn't need it more than what he had. With all Nicodemus knew, he was still lacking the most important thing. He didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He didn't have that. And how many today, if you think about today, in the world in which we live in, are teaching and preaching in seminaries and colleges and Christian schools that have no more than religion? They don't have a relationship. And I think about how many times, even in Baptist churches, our children grow up in churches and they hear it and they know it and they've got it all in their head. And somehow I think many times young people think that they're somehow going to ride into heaven on their parents' coattails. I'm just going to keep believing. Mom, and it was good enough for mom and dad. So, I'll visit church every now and then, and I'll keep my foot in the door. And so when that day comes, the Lord will take me too. Well, just having religion is not enough. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Nicodemus, here he was, a master teacher of the children of Israel, if you will. And the Lord said, you're a master and you don't understand these things, that you need Jesus Christ. And so we must have that spiritual birth. That's what Christ was teaching him. He said there in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, there is nothing more true than this. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, you're not going to enter into heaven. You can't just go with religion. You have to have that relationship. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. In other words, of the Holy Spirit. Something has to happen inside. It's not just a decision. It's not just a change in life that you decide that, well, I'm going to be a good person. And he has to be born of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He needed a work of God in his heart, and that's what the Lord was telling him. He needed a spiritual birth. Salvation is more than just knowledge. Every one of us must experience this spiritual birth in order to be saved, and that's what the Lord was telling Nicodemus. What we see in Nicodemus is that you can know all about God. You can know the Word of God inside and out. You can know all the details of the law and still die and go to hell. Because Nicodemus was lost. He needed to be born again. And later we see Nicodemus, as we said, helping with the body of Christ. And I believe that Nicodemus became a child of God. Now I want us to look at Next, the person we read about in Acts chapter 10, if you want to look there, Cornelius. Cornelius, it says there, was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius in verse 1. A centurion, that means he was an important person. He was over 100 men in the Italian band. He had 100 men that were under him. He was a centurion. It says in verse 2, he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. I want you to think about that for a minute. How many people do you know that are good people? You know, you have friends, I mean, and you just know them, and they're good people. They're good people. They don't drink. They don't cuss. They even bless their food. They gather their family around, and they'll say, "We're not going to eat until we ask the blessing on the food." There's a lot of people like that that just have a form of religion, and they have no relationship. And Nicodemus, we talked about him here. Cornelius, he says he was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people and prayed. I mean, this was a giving man. This was a charitable man. This was a man that probably maybe gave to the poor. He maybe gave to the temple. He was not a selfish man. He was not. He feared God, and he taught his house that way. And it says there that he was praying and he was fasting. And when the Lord sent the angel to tell him that he needed someone to come talk to him, by the foolishness of preaching. You know, and so the Lord arranged it to where, you know, Peter would go and preach the word to him. And so it says here that he was a God-fearing man, he was a praying man, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. A man who taught all his house to fear God, a giving man, and he was a praying man, and he was a God-fearing man, a fasting man, but he was a lost man. And he was, you know, the Bible tells us that, that he was praying and fasting when the angel of God appeared unto him. He was not an idol worshiper. He was not bowing down to the goddess of Diana or one of the false gods of that day and age. He prayed to the God of heaven, but he was lost. How many people do you think could fall into that category that you know today? You know, there might be some here tonight, you know, and that just have it in their head and don't have it in their heart. They've never had that relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, you look at, you know, if you were to look at Cornelius from the outside, everybody that looked at him would say, "Boy, that's a Christian. That's a Christian." If you were to see a man today that fasted, and how many of us really fast and pray like we ought to? I know I don't. Obviously, I need to, but we don't do those things. And you know, and you look at someone who did that, and you in your mind would say that they're far more spiritual than me. That's what you would think. And see, he was not an idol worshiper. He was worshiping and praying to the true God of heaven. That's who he prayed to. He was praying to God, but yet he too needed a spiritual birth. Like Nicodemus, he needed to hear the word of God. And what he had wasn't enough. All he had was religion. And how many people, you know, today would teach their family to even fear God? I mean, that's a rarity today. But this man did. He taught his whole family to fear God. He gave alms. He was a giving person, a helping person. And people look at them and they say, well, you know, if they're not going to heaven, nobody will. That's the kind of, you know, the way people look at it. Somebody, you know, if grandma, you know, or grandpa didn't go to heaven, nobody will, because grandma and grandpa prayed, or grandma and grandpa did this or that. But if grandma and grandpa didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they died in a lost state. Here, these people that we see, they need to hear the word of God. Many people that we think are just good people need to hear the word of God. And Cornelius was a good person, and he needed to hear the word of God. Well, let's look over in Acts chapter 16 at Lydia for a moment and think about Lydia. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 12, it says, "From thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and she was baptized in her household. She besought us, saying, If ye judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into mine house and abide there, and she constrained us. Well, we know that the Holy Spirit was certainly working to bring Paul and Silas there. They wanted to go to another place. The Lord constrained them and showed them in a vision to Paul at night to come over to Macedonia, to come there to Philippi and to preach. So we see the Holy Spirit was working, just as the Holy Spirit worked to bring Peter to Cornelius. The Holy Spirit was working to bring Paul and Silas to preach to Lydia. But I want you to look where they found her. First of all, we notice here that on verse 13, it was on the Sabbath day. I mean, she wasn't out working. This is the Lord's day. And so she was gathered on the Sabbath day out by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. In other words, if you will, allow me to just say that she was at a ladies' prayer meeting. That's what it looks like. I mean, she was gathered by where the other women were praying and on the Sabbath day. So, on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by the river where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So, if you will, to me, it's like she was at a ladies' prayer meeting on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. She was not only out there praying, but she was not praying to a false god or to an idol. She was praying and she was worshiping the God of heaven, but she was doing it all through just religion. She too needed to be saved. She needed to have her heart open. She needed to be born again. She was lost. She was in her lost state. And so God was arranging for this woman, Lydia, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a certain woman named Lydia, in verse 14, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. And the only person that can make that happen is the Holy Spirit, to open her heart. I mean, you can preach and preach and teach and teach, and if the Holy Spirit doesn't open your hearing, you know, the Bible says, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. That's the wonderful thing, is when the Holy Spirit opens your heart and your mind until you hear the Word of God. Which worship God heard us. She was going through the motions. She was going to, you know, to prayer meeting or to church services, whatever you want to call it, that would be like today. And she was lost. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart. He says, whose heart the Lord opened. You know, it wasn't up to the persuading powers of Paul. Now, if you think about what Paul said, look with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or no, it's chapter 2, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And just read what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth there. And so many people think it's within their ability or persuading powers to do something. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, the Lord opened her heart so that she tells us she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when the Lord saves somebody's soul, you don't have to drag them into church. That ought to be their desire, to want to be in the house of God and want to know the things of God. It's just like, you know, that newborn baby that just desires that milk and wants to just is hungry. And that's the way a child of God ought to be. And so when the Lord opened her heart, she didn't walk away. She just said, I want to know some more. And not only did she want to know some more, she followed immediately in verse 15. It says, and she was baptized. She followed, you know, the first thing that they no doubt taught her was that you need to be baptized. You need to follow in baptism. And it says in verse 15, and she was baptized and her household. And she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into mine house and abide there. And she constrained us. And so we know that Cornelius, the first thing that happened is Paul said, can any man forbid water that these that have received the Holy Ghost, the same as we, you know, that they could be baptized? And that's the first thing that Lydia did too. And so so we find that, that she was there at the river worshiping God, but she was still lost. All she had was religion. She had no real relationship yet with Jesus Christ. And we see how the Lord led Paul to preach to her. And she needed to hear the Word of God. She needed that spiritual birth that the Lord told Nicodemus about. She needed more than head knowledge. She needed more than church worship. She needed more than prayer. She needed the Lord, and she needed to be born again. And how many people like Lydia would you know today? How many people that you know that maybe you know that maybe they don't go to this church, but they go to some church, and they go regularly? How many people do you know that attend church regularly, that they even go on Wednesday night, which a lot of people would think is nuts? But you know, you might know someone that says, well, you know, we have ladies this or ladies that. I mean, I talk to people. I know my wife works with people at the library that you know, they're very involved in their church. A lot of people are very involved in their church, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lydia was very involved. I mean, she was there at the, you know, the ladies were there gathered together, and she was there praying, but she needed the Lord. She needed the Lord. And so how many people do you know that go to Bible studies? They're good people like Cornelius. They're giving people, even teachers of the Word of God, and yet they could still be lost in their sins. All three of these, what they had and what they were doing was not enough. They were all lacking the most important thing, and that's that relationship with Jesus Christ. They all needed to hear the Word of God. They were three very religious people that needed to be saved. They were all actively worshiping the one true God of heaven, yet they lacked the most important thing, that relationship with Jesus Christ. To have their heart open, to receive the Holy Spirit, to be born again, to be saved. It tells us there that Lydia says, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. When the Lord opened her heart, that she was able to then. She couldn't even do it before. She just was going through the motions. And she was baptized. I'm afraid there are many that, like I said, that fall into these categories in churches today. There's people that have religion, and they need to hear the Word of God. They need the Holy Spirit to fall upon them like it did Cornelius and those that were in his home, all those that were with him. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And that's the important thing. It's the preaching of the word. It's, if you want to turn back there and just read that with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 there, where Paul was writing to them, and we'll read that verse because I don't want to try and quote it. Let's read verse 17 of chapter 1. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Again, he said, I'm not trying to convince people with my eloquentness, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And so certainly it's the preaching of the word. It's by the foolishness of preaching. And so in verse 21 it says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so we see the working of the Holy Spirit in sending Simon Peter to Cornelius and sending Paul and Silas to where Lydia was, that the Lord might use the preaching of the word. So what we want our thought to bring across to you again tonight is religion isn't enough. There are many people out there that have religion. And being a teacher of the word, being a master of the word, you know, people talk about maybe that they've got a doctorate or they went to, you know, they've got all sorts of understanding of the scriptures, and they might be able to even quote a lot of the word of God. But if they don't have Jesus Christ in their heart, they're still lost. Look with me in Matthew chapter 7, what the Lord said here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Part of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, he says, they're not every one that saith unto me, in verse 21 of Matthew 7, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Well, that's certainly, you know, if Cornelius would have died before he was saved, he would have thought, well, I did all these things, Lord. I was giving, and I taught my family to fear you, and I did all these things. And here he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, what's the will of the Father? Believe in the Son. Trust in His Son. That's the will of the Father. It's not keeping the law. A lot of people think, well, that's keeping the law. No, it's not. It's believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. I look at Cornelius, and he would shame me. You know, I think, you know, this man was a God-fearing man, a giving man, a fasting man, a praying man, and he was lost. And certainly there's many that say, in will cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I heard a message preached a long time ago about this, and it wasn't like God knew us for a while and then forgot us and then knew us again. I mean, you can't be saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost. You're either saved or you're not, and if you're saved, he knows you and you have that relationship. He says, I never knew you. You were never one of mine. You see, that's the most important thing. If we've got that relationship, he's never going, you're in his hand and you, I will nowise cast out. You have that relationship. He said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. You were never, we never had a relationship. You were never one of mine. And so it's important to understand that it is a relationship. I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. In other words, that's Jesus Christ, trusting in him, building his house, your life. It's not religion. It's in faith in Jesus Christ, which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You see, religion is not enough. Being a teacher of the word, like Nicodemus was, is not enough. Being a church member is not enough. Being a good person, like Cornelius, is not enough. Being faithful to church and prayer meetings, like Lydia was, is not enough. All they did was in the flesh and not in the spirit. Look with me over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. In Romans 8 and verse 8. In Romans 8 and verse 8 it says, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can do a lot of things in the flesh. You know, you can take Lord's Supper, you can give tithes, you can pray, you can fast, you can teach Sunday school, you could pastor a church. You can do a lot of things in the flesh, but if it's not in the spirit, and that's what the Lord was telling Nicodemus. He says, that which is flesh, but that which is spirit, you gotta have that spiritual birth. It's not just the flesh, it's not just what we do in the flesh. It's a spiritual relationship. You must be born again. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh. Isn't that a wonderful thing if you know that tonight? To know that you can go back in your mind and you can know when the Lord spoke to your heart and saved your soul. I mean, if you don't know that tonight, that's a you ought to know. If you really have that relationship and you really have trusted in Jesus Christ, I can tell you Cornelius never forgot the day. You know, like me, I don't know what day it was, but I know exactly where I was at and when it happened. And I can tell you that Lydia never forgot the day by the river when the Lord opened her heart. You know, those things are overwhelming, and you'll never forget them. And this, when the Spirit of God came and dwelt in your heart. And it says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In other words, you've been born again. And then it says, if. You see, there's an if there. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. In other words, it just can't be just religion. You have to have more than just religion. You have to have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in you, and trust and believe in him for your salvation. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, he says, I never knew you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you've never been saved, you don't have enough. You don't have enough. You need faith in Christ. You must be born again. You must believe with all your heart, trusting in him and him alone and him only. You must have heard the Holy Ghost speak to you. You must have opened your heart like Lydia. He must have poured out his Spirit on you like he did Cornelius. You need that working in your heart. You need the pouring out of the Holy Spirit like it happened to Cornelius and all those that were in his home. You need to be born of the Spirit, like Nicodemus was told that he needed to be born of the Spirit. Has the Holy Spirit worked in your heart? Has the power of God opened it up, placed that Spirit within you? Because the Bible says that when it happens, you know what? He says it gives you that earnest, that down payment that you know. The Bible says that, you know, we don't have to have a doubting salvation. We have a no-so salvation. that we know that Jesus Christ. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, I like these verses here. We'll start at verse 11. It says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word." You know what? You have to hear the word. And it says here, it says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed." If you hear the word and you trust and believe, and then it says here, "You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance." In other words, that's that down payment. God puts that Holy Spirit in you to speak to you, to show you, to talk to you, to guide you, and that's that down payment that says, you know what, you're one of mine, and I'm coming back for you. I like that. I love that picture. I sold a lot of things in my life, and I bought a lot of things, and I never go buy something that I would expect someone to hold it for nothing. I wouldn't go up there and just say, you know what, I'm going to buy this camper, this RV, and you know what, I'll be back whenever I can get back, and I'll pay you for it. The guy would probably go, no way. But I look at them, and I go, what do I need to give you to assure you? That earnest payment. You know, will $100 do it? Will $500 do it? You know, $1,000 do it or whatever? But you know, the Holy Spirit is what the Lord has given us to know that one day He's coming back for us. That one day that He gives us that assurance in our heart that we're one of His, that we're a child of God, and that one day that He is going to return for us. And that we find over in the John chapter 14. We'll take a moment and just read that. John chapter 14, there, in verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And later on in that same chapter, it talks about, in verse 26, the Comforter. That's that Holy Spirit. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." That's that Holy Spirit, that earnest that he has given us in our heart that we're a child of God. Do you have that tonight? And we hope that each one of you do. If you don't, you need to call upon the Lord. You need to repent of your sins. And you need to say, "Lord, I know all I've got's religion. And I want that relationship with you. I want to know you as my personal Savior." We'll turn the service back over to Brother Tim.